This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Greenberg from The Athletic joining us live from Sluggers here in Wrigleyville. It's great to see you, John.
Oh, now the mic's on, so now I can say it's great to see you. I got a refrigerator repairman coming to my house, but I came here to see you two in person.
Well, we always care about your fridge. That's a big deal.
Is the fridge working? Is
no, I don't think the freezer was bad, and then it was a compressor issue. It's really expensive, so I'm glad I get paid for this. Wait, I don't get paid for this.
So there won't be any one-yard touchdowns, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we have some donuts that you can fill with jelly.
We can pay you with one of these if
you
like.
Do you want one of those?
So, do you know how these donuts work?
And you don't have to refrigerate
them.
Oh, no, this is... We're on. Yeah, we're TV people. We just do radio.
You guys are TV people. It seems like I'm with celebrities.
So, this comes with a little syringe with either a strawberry or blueberry filling.
Okay.
So you inject the donut.
Is this from Wrigley?
Yeah, it's from Wrigley.
Oh, these are the new donut things they have. I saw it behind home plate.
I know you did a column on the Campfire Milkshake that was very popular on The Athletic. So are you interested in doing perhaps a column on one of these guys?
I think I probably will be.
Okay, then you need to try one. We will give you one to try.
Inject one.
Your sense of humor. When I heard you were doing the column on the Campfire Milkshake, and it was brought up in context of the White Sox season last year, I was like, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Perfection.
I think they were like 2-13 when I did that.
But that's you. You're good at finding like the humor and the juxtaposition and the context. That's what you do.
Have you had the celebration milkshake this year, the new one?
No, I need to get my like sugar checked first.
I don't want you getting the diabetes.
Yeah, I don't want to get the diabetes.
I had the milkshake. I just had half of it. Maybe I didn't even have half. Whatever I had was a satisfying amount, even though it wasn't all of it.
So was it good?
It was
really good. It was delicious. I cannot lie. It was delicious. Comes with a pinwheel.
Brooks came in with this entourage, and like all these people were just bringing in this colorful food and everything, and I was very distracted by all of the cool things I was looking at.
I tried, it was like the bubble waffles with chicken.
Yes.
I didn't love it, I'll be honest.
I did love that.
You did? All right. That's why someone yelled at me from the White Sox, because his name might have been Brooks, that I tweeted negatively about it, so maybe you're the one that liked it.
I mean, I did like it, but I also, again, I like a lot of stuff. John Greenberg, the editor with The Athletic here in Chicago, and the reason why we also wanted to have you on today, especially for the home opener, is just how much information we got from you doing the sit-down. Jed Hoyer, the thing that, of course, stood out to Marshall and me was the phrase that we've seen before. Outperform expectations.
Yeah.
What were your takeaways from just talking to Jed the way you did and getting context to that as well as just his outlook on the season overall?
Yeah, and you know what? Well, thanks for the compliment, by the way, because I never know if those actually turn out well.
We were obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah. We spent a good hour talking about it.
Well, that makes me happy that my time on working vacation was used properly. But, you know, he said that, so the outperforming expectations thing, and he kind of went into it a little deeper, is that the young player? He basically said it's going to come from the young players, right? It's going to come from Pete Crow Armstrong, Miguel Amaya, Matt Shaw, the guys who they don't really have, you know, the formulas don't really have any expectations for them. They're just using comparable type players. So those guys have to outperform. That's really – and he's repeated that. And I noticed – it's funny you guys bring it up because I noticed he said it again today when we talked in the dugout with him before
the
game. Oh,
he did. He tripled down.
Yeah, he that's become – he Jed's pretty good about, you know, kind of workshopping his material and then repeating it. And so he repeated it again that, like, it's got to come from the young players. And that was kind of the reason he said, you know, last year when their offense went into a slump for 2 months, they weren't getting a lot of production from some of the young guys. And when Dansby and those guys slump, they need the young guys to kind of pick them up. And when those guys slump, they need the older guys to pick them up. So that's kind of where it's coming from. I mean, he's got to have – you got to get Dansby healthy and hitting again to his projections. And you've got to have those young players maybe outperform the more limited, moderate expectations on them.
I think looking at that, I would say through 9 games, it has been the veterans who have been doing most of the heavy lifting, while those younger players have been doing enough. You know, they haven't done anything to say that they necessarily have stood out over a period of time.
Yeah.
Now it's a 9-game sample, so let me not get ahead of myself when I say that. But to your point, we just talked to Joe Ostrowski from BetMGM, and he was talking about the fact that now Matt Shaw is a co-favorite to win National League Rookie of the Year. And my whole thing is, if he can play where he's in the top two in voting in that, that means he's doing well enough, right? So that's kind of one of those projections that you're talking about when you're saying young players play better. And, of course, we're looking at Pete Crow-Armstrong more second half of last year as opposed to the first half of last year.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about Shaw is, you know, he has that really bad, like a bad fielding error. Hey, a couple, I think, in Japan. And that kind of brought up what people were saying about him is that, you know, they were worried, or people around the league were just, you know, not worried, but maybe, like, concerned that putting a rookie at that defensive position might hurt him a little bit, right? Because he could bring fielding errors to the plate, plate errors to the field, and that's just a lot of work. And, you know, the ideal thing was to get Bregman at third, put Shaw at second with Nico, and kind of mix him around. But then Shaw's been hitting. You know, he's been hitting since he came home. Pete Crow-Armstrong, yeah, the average doesn't look great, but he's made some amazing plays, great base running, aggressive. He's hit the ball a little bit. So that's what you need. Miguel Amaya, like what they saw from him last year, has got to continue. Like, just, you know, same thing, kind of second half. So you got to get these guys to hit. And, like, they made a bet on Shaw. When they traded Cam, when they put Cam Smith in that deal to Houston for Kyle Tucker, that is a huge bet on Shaw because they're saying, well, we can't have this many rookies in the lineup, whatever, but – yeah, it's a big bet. And you know what? It's a big bet on all these young guys. Like Jed said, for getting them to outperform, they have a lower budget than last year opening. You know, we can argue about the budget. They have a lower 40-man, 26-man budget payroll. And you have that many young guys, that lower budget, that many young guys playing big roles in a must-win season, they've got to perform. There's not a lot of runway here.
No, and that's it. I feel like Jed Hoyer will tell you what he can without directly saying everything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's got to wear that phrase. He's the one who has to wear the phrase outperform expectations. But you know he's doing what he can with what he has. And I said this to Marshall yesterday. I feel like if you were in his position, where you're in the last year of your contract, you're going to do what you can to try to show ownership that this is what can happen when you have a Kyle Tucker in the lineup.
Right.
Like, this is what you can have. How much happier are you? How much more content is the team knowing this person is here and will help everyone?
Yeah, no, I 100%. I mean, it's like now you know, before it's like when you were complaining about the Cubs not signing guys, right? Well, it's also a free market. You know, it's whatever. You can use those excuses. But here you have Kyle Tucker here. They're not going to get an extension, though. He's going to go to free agency, but at least you have the introduction to him. And I think that's what Jed's been kind of bringing up. Like, we're getting to know him. Maybe that'll give us a little bit. You know, maybe not a deal, not a hometown discount, but at least when he's trying to make the decision on what he wants, he could, you know, say, well, I really like it here. Let's get my agents to work out a deal here. Now, I also think, you know, the tough thing about a guy going in the last year of his contract, like you said, is, and I trust Jed and I like Jed, but you're going to make decisions with that in mind. And I kind of phrased it like that to Jed. You know, what do you have to say to people that are going to say, well, you're in the last year of your deal. That's why you made Kyle Tucker for Cam Smith. You know, the present for 1 year for the future, it's kind of tough. I didn't really agree with – even though we have such limited whatever on Cam Smith, you could tell he was kind of, might be an impact kind of guy, and then he makes the opening day roster. It's a tough deal, and I think that's kind of why you don't want to have guys going into their lame duck year.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. Here's how I look at it. if he had 2 years on his deal still, I still think he would have made the deal for Kyle Tucker because
it's a better deal. That's great. Well, if he had 2 years, I'd be all for it.
Well, no. I'm saying Jed Hoyer, not Kyle Tucker. Last year of Kyle Tucker's deal, right?
Yeah.
But Jed Hoyer has 2 years remaining on his contract.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
He does that because he has to show them, listen, what we've been doing from a payroll.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Standpoint, it's not working. You need a certain type of player. Now you've got that player in house. You can show the organization, the owners of the organization, this is what it looks like when you pay for premium talent.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's a really good point.
Because you can still get fired with a year left on your contract.
100%. I mean, and he also, Jed talked again today about what, you know, he calls kind of like war consolidation, win consolidation. Instead of like 2-3 win players, you get 1-6 win player. And I feel like a lot of times people, when their budgets are bad or whatever, they try to sell you on, we're going to replace one guy with three guys. It doesn't, that's just too much of a margin for error.
And we've seen it.
Right, we've seen it. Like, you go cheap on guys.
Where you have to outplay your expectations.
Yeah, exactly. We're good if this goes right, this goes right, this goes right, this goes right. And that's like, whenever someone starts talking like that, I'm like, you're just spinning for the public.
It's a very big contrast, too. We want to remind you, by the way, that we are talking with John Greenberg. And I forgot to mention, founding editor at The Athletic, senior columnist. And we're talking to him about the sit-down he did with Jed Hoyer that came out a couple weeks ago, but it's still very valid now as we talk to you about what's happening today with the home opener. I also want to point out this, though. That is a contrast to what you hear Craig Counsell say on a regular basis. Counsell's the one who says players are going to underperform. You know, you got to build a roster to allow for that. It can't just be this one-sided when it comes to knowing what a team is going to do. You have to understand what a team is also likely to do. And there is a bit of a disconnect there between those two ideas.
Yeah, no, and I like that Council's a very – Council doesn't get too high on these guys. You know what I mean? He always seems like he's – every time someone asks a question that gets a little too giggly, as Lou Piniella would call it, Council's there to kind of be like, you know, he's kind of got that personality where he's just a little bit like, yeah, we'll see. So he also – but Jed's talked a lot about the depth, and he talked about it in that interview, like, when you try to ask him what he's happy about, he says the depth of the roster. And again, he was talking about today, like, he thinks the roster 1 through 26 is a little deeper than it was last year, as in you're not going to lose a lot by playing any of these guys, especially on the lineup side. Like, I think he feels like this lineup towards the end is just a little – when you put a guy in, you're not just giving up at-bats. So we'll see.
I think one of the interesting things about the way this roster constructed, as you talk about the depth, is – bullpen depth and lineup depth are two different things, because in a lineup, a guy or two can be in a slump and you can kind of make it through. Mm-hmm. If the bullpen goes through a slump, that's a different matter because we've seen it firsthand. Yeah. And so you wonder, even though they're coming off a successful road trip going 5-2, could have been 6-1, you wonder how long it's going to be in the season before we, the viewing public, and the organization internally trust the bullpen and the guys that are in the places where you're counting backwards 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, because, you know, nowadays starters don't even necessarily go 5.
Right, and you have to think about, I heard someone mention this the other day and it's a good point, like, who's your second day bullpen guys? You know, when you use them one day, who do you have going the second? People like the Dodgers, their second day is as good as the first.
Easily.
Right? And that's, the bullpen's such a difficult thing because, and as Jed said, like, your guy that's good this year is going to be bad the next year. The guy that's going to be bad, well, 1 year, they bounce back. There's so much volatility there. And the thing you don't want to do is overpay for guys like they've done in the past, overpay for Craig Kimbrell. You know, you overpay for closers. You trade for a closer for a year. Like, that's where you get killed, is when you start overpaying for guys and spending your budget on these guys that are volatile in the first place. So it'll be interesting to see if Ryan Presley's the guy, if he can hold up for a season. What is he, 36?
Yeah.
You know, they signed some veteran guys, and we'll see if they hold up and see. You have to have that mix of the veterans and the young guys from your own system. And, like, it's almost impossible. Even the projections, all these money they spend on projecting guys, you still just never know, because if these guys were that sure things, they'd be starters.
Well, and I think additionally, you see what happens to their value at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a big part of it, too, is teams who feel like they're close, they will make those trade deadline moves. And this segment, by the way, is sponsored by Webb Hyundai in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana, with John Greenberg. I also want to ask you just your opinion of how you see this shaking out, whether it was the moves they made for a guy like Tucker, the move they made for Presley, knowing what you know about talking to Jed Hoyer in the way you did, because I know Jed says, I think there's a lot of intent with Jed that sometimes gets left off of just reading a quote, even though the quotes are very good. How you see this playing out altogether? Like, are you in the same place with it this time this year that you were last year, for example?
That's a good point. I wonder what I have to look at my projections. I think I probably had like 86 or 87 wins last year. And now, like, you know, it's probably a little better because I think Tucker's a little better than Bellinger.
Right.
You know, you feel a little better, I guess, about the bullpen just because of Presley. But, yeah, I guess I feel like just a little better, right? Like, it's, like, very incremental. Like, I don't feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to cancel my vacation plans for October, you know?
That says a lot.
Right? I'm not worried about World Series plans. But you do feel, like, a little more sure. And also, I feel a little better just after the first week and watch how they came back from Japan. No one felt good about that team when they saw him in Tokyo. But, you know, it's kind of, the Tokyo thing was interesting because people, you have two sides of stuff, especially on, like, Twitter and things, where people are like, oh, everyone's overreacting over two games. But that wasn't really the reaction. The reaction really was, oh, my God, look how much worse they are than the Dodgers. And that's really what we're thinking about. And that's, I think, really been the talk in Chicago, right, amongst us and amongst educated fans is, here's this team that should be a top five payroll, you know, a financial powerhouse, and they're just kind of not. They're not cheap, but they're not powerhouse. They're really in that middle spot, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. And that's what's kind of bothering people. And, like, you look around, like, we're at a crowded bar at noon on a 45-degree Friday. This place is packed. It's packed outside. You know, the prices are astronomical for the Cubs, for everything. And it's just, like, they make a lot of money. And I saw Adam and Patrick wrote a story about today with Ken Rosenthal, just kind of delving into a little more of that. Just, like, here's a team that should be spending more. And it's not just us. It's not just annoying fans calling in. It's not annoying media people looking for stuff to talk about. People in baseball, executives, are calling people being like, why aren't the Cubs spending more? Why didn't they get Bregman? I mean, that is what people totally unaffiliated with the Cubs were literally asking people that cover the Cubs or work for the Cubs, how the heck did you guys not get Bregman? How did this not happen?
Well, and Theo helped get him in Boston. You know, that's a big part of it, too.
Shakes fist.
I think the biggest thing going forward, because we understand where ownership stance is on the payroll and everything else, the fact that they did not get Bregman, the only positive, and I say it like could be a positive, is the fact that now as you get to the trade deadline, if they do what they're supposed to do, you do have a chance to add a piece that can maybe lengthen this lineup and strengthen it.
No, and you have a lot of space. I mean, they have legitimate payroll space to add before they get to the luxury tax. So, yeah, you're 100% right. But, you know, I think they would have liked maybe the certainty.
Absolutely. Yeah,
well, and we still don't know if they went over that luxury tax on purpose or if it just kind of ended up happening. That's the other part of it.
Yeah.
I think we're all still wondering about that. John Greenberg, the founding editor of The Athletic here in Chicago. Excellent columnist, whether it's about Jed Hoyer or milkshakes, he is your man. And I'm glad to hear that your appliances are going to be better.
We're hoping, yes. So, yeah, thank you for that. Jed Hoyer to milkshakes, I cover it all. You guys are doing a great job. It's great to be on with you. I appreciate having me.
Well, we're happy to have you. And I do love your sarcasm. I'm not going to lie.
I wasn't being sarcastic there, though.
I know, but I mean in general.
Yo, in general.
You're doing a great job.
Whether in real life or on the social media,
whatever.
The Bears
press conference this year was still your best. Like, we ended up just cackling because of the way you said the stadium project and momentum. Point is, John does it all. We appreciate his time here on the Midday Show on The Score. Thanks, John.
Thanks John. Guys.